Good evening, everyone. So, as has been trailed, I'm the Chief Scientific Advisor for CPNI, the Centre for the Protection of National Infrastructure. We help protect national security by providing protective security advice. We provide advice on physical security, personnel security, and cyber and information assurance. Most importantly, we explain how these different components combine together and reinforce each other, and we also explain their relationship to the threat picture as we see it. So in terms of the national infrastructure is defined as those facilities, systems, sites, and networks that are necessary for the functioning of the country and delivery of the essential service upon which daily life in the UK depends. The national infrastructure is we define the national infrastructure as being divided into 9 distinct sectors: communications, emergency services, energy, financial services, food, government, health, transport, and water. So we deal with a whole variety of different sectors that really touch upon everyday life. Government departments have lead responsibilities for ensuring that appropriate steps are taken within their sectors to improve protective security. They also sort of lead on the identification of the critical infrastructure within their sectors in consultation with us and other sectoral bodies. Now, not everything within our national infrastructure is critical. So within the sectors, there are certain critical elements of infrastructure. As I said, the loss or compromise of which would have a detrimental impact on the availability or integrity of essential services, leading to severe economic or social consequences, or even in extremis to loss of life. Infrastructure assets can be physical sites, installations, pieces of equipment, or they can be logical, so they can be information networks or systems. So that's some background as to who we are, and obviously an important and increasingly important aspect of what we do is relates to cyber. So I want to talk a bit, first of all, about the cyber threat. So as we're all very much aware, I'm sure, the UK is facing an ongoing persistent threat of cyber attack from other states, terrorists, and criminals who operate in cyberspace. E-crime, or cybercrime, whether relating to theft, hacking, or denial of service to vital systems, has become an everyday fact of life. The risk of industrial cyber espionage, in which one company makes active attacks on another through cyberspace to acquire high-value information, is very real. It's something we see on a daily basis. So just to try and quantify some of this, some relevant facts and figures. So William Hague said earlier this year, Britain is targeted by 1,000 cyber attacks every hour. GCHQ would say Britain is seeing about 70 sophisticated cyber espionage operations a month, 70 a month against government or industry networks. Each month there are around 20,000 malicious emails on government networks, of which 1,000 of those are deliberately targeted at them, while intellectual property theft is taking place on an industrial scale. So this is a very real, serious, tangible problem. We work with Cabinet Office and various other government departments and agencies to drive forward the UK's cybersecurity programme to try and counter these threats. So I want to talk about a bit what we do within that space. So, as has been said, I am a computer scientist, and so I understand full well about the positive benefits and potential that cyber networks and networks of information systems bring to us. It's an enormous business and societal enabler. It provides business really with the ability to communicate and operate globally. However, foreign states and associated groups are using that very same infrastructure to steal or corrupt data to benefit their own objectives. So things that we see include accessing commercially sensitive information to gain an advantage in contract negotiations, stealing intellectual property to further indigenous capabilities, accessing third-party data held by UK companies, such as information the companies with defence contractors on allied military capabilities, and corrupting data and or disrupting IT systems in order to deny a service. So compromising the IT networks of UK companies is achieved through a variety of different mechanisms. However, the overwhelmingly common favourite way of doing this is through spear phishing. This is where certain members of staff are sent socially engineered emails that encourage them to download an attachment, click on a link or a website, resulting download of malware. These, at the high end, these are not randomly distributed emails that are very easy to notice. Okay, they're not offering you to get money out of Nigeria and things like that. These are very carefully engineered directly to particular targeted individuals within companies and organizations from people that they would expect to receive an email from and open. So in the past, the technical threat has mostly stemmed from criminals targeting personal data associated with financial transactions for financial gain and foreign intelligence services targeting states to steal protectively marked, i.e. classified material, to inform their political and defense-related reporting objectives. However, with the global economy, increased competition and connectivity of systems storing and transmitting information of what could be said to constitute economic intelligence. When you combine this with the aggressive economic development of some nations, this has really resulted in a number of states utilizing their intelligence apparatus to inform and advantage their national industries. The threat from foreign states targeting UK commercial interests is not well understood, and therefore it's very challenging to manage and give advice on. Due to the covert nature of such activity and the reluctance in some quarters to report it, it's difficult to quantify the cost of a hostile state cyber activity against the UK. However, we are aware of one example where a company lost around £800 million to a cyber attack. Our role, working in partnership with others, is to help reduce the UK's vulnerability to hostile cyber activity by states or terrorists, provide protective security advice to government departments and industry to reduce vulnerability and the associated risk, and also to raise awareness of such threats. We are not a regulator, and so we cannot mandate, we give advice. We decide on the companies we engage with based on a range of different factors, including their association with the critical national infrastructure. It's difficult to quantify the number of companies we work with, but it's in the hundreds. Moreover, this is a changing landscape. So, for example, there has been a recent trend we've seen towards professional services companies being targeted. So not go for the defence prime, but to go to the lawyers for the defence prime or the marketing company for the defence prime, for example. Thus, we now engage with the legal sector. So law firms are highly attractive targets for hostile states interested in accumulating intelligence on corporately sensitive subjects, such as mergers and acquisitions, for example. A single attack against one of these companies is likely to yield information on a number of their different clients and deals. Now, law firms are quite good at sharing IT and security information with one another, and there's a good, if informal, network running between IT and security professional law firms. We've met with both the Legal Security Forum and the Legal IT Innovations Group to brief them on the cyber threat. But both these groups share security information, and we're encouraging them to do this. So this is an example where we didn't see activity, there wasn't a great deal of activity pointed at that sector. As the rest of the critical national infrastructure hardens up and raises its game, then what you see is a moving to what is perceived to be a slightly weaker target. Speaking more generally again, cyber is a complex landscape, and there are a range of bodies that deliver cyber risk advice to those areas in the UK economy that are not covered by CPNI. These include various computer emergency response teams and biz advice delivery by trade associations. There's also generic security advice products developed by ourselves and BIS and GCHQ and others. For example, the 20 critical controls and 10 steps to cyber security that can be used by companies and individuals that fall outside of our direct purview. Much of the key advice companies need to protect themselves is also available on the CPNI website. So I want to talk now, so having spoken a bit about the picture, about some of the things that we do to try and make it a harder landscape for which our adversaries to operate. So we have our cyber outreach program spans a number of different teams within our organisation, and the following three areas detail the main things that we do. Firstly, is influence of board behaviours of business leaders. So we engage with companies at board level to assist understanding of the cyber threat and inform corporate decision making. We engage in both a reactive manner, so when we see an attack on a company, and a proactive manner, as in we believe that foreign states are targeting companies in this sector. Are you aware this is the way that they do it? We offer follow-on support to companies, including risk assessment, impact assessment, vulnerability management, and the delivery of our security products. We enable operational capabilities within companies. So for several years, we've encouraged the development of information exchanges where companies in the same sector come together to share information on security vulnerabilities in a confidential manner. We've done this independently and well before the cyber threat was so prominent. But obviously all of these now have an element of cyber in their discussion. So that's the nine sectors that I spoke about. We don't run a specific cyber information exchange, but cyber is a key part of each of these sectoral fora. And the third thing we do is we develop advice and guidance to assist businesses to better manage the cyber risks themselves. So we built on our experience of information exchanges to help Cabinet Office deliver a secure online platform where businesses can interact with one another in real time to share information on cybersecurity. This is the Cybersecurity Information Sharing Partnership, or CISP. The CISP community is for network defenders. The secure environment allows them to receive and share technical threat information in real time. And the main purpose of the tool and the forum that we've constructed is to build trusted communities in companies that can share information amongst themselves and respond to advice pushed out from the centre. As another example of work in our area, we helped launch the Cyber Incident Response Scheme, CIR, late 2012 as part of a pilot objectives. What we tried to do within this was build industry capability to identify, analyse, contain and defend against network intrusions. So this was all about sharing information, bringing together companies and in a trustworthy way to really make sure that they're able to understand what's going on and to best respond to it in the best way possible. This has now morphed into a twin track solution. So one track one is where we have a broad based scheme that's delivered by CREST, who are an industry professional body. CREST will set a standard that's endorsed by government for organisations providing incident response services. So this might include criminal forensics, denial of service mitigation, and malware remediation services. If and when other industry bodies develop similar standards, we'll also work with them. Track two is a small and focused scheme certified by CELS and GCHQ. This focuses on network intrusions or attacks by high-end, usually state-sponsored cyber actors against networks of national significance, broadly defined as government, critical national infrastructure, and other private sector companies. We believe there'll be about sort of 4 to 6 companies within this space. So to wrap up, there is no fix for the cyber problems. Cyber attacks are just a part of everyday life. As the head of cyber at MI5 recently stated, there are now three certainties in life. There's death, there's taxes, and there's a foreign intelligence service on your system. We face determined, increasingly sophisticated, and well-resourced adversaries. Thus, if a cyber hacker wants to get onto your network, they probably will. It's a constantly evolving arms race, and the aims of companies we work with should be to protect the most important information on their systems by prioritising and really focusing their efforts on that to try and reduce the vulnerability and the impact of such attacks. Thank you very much.